You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Jesus brought us from the deadness of our sin to fullness of life in Him. Go deeper into this truth in week 3 of our series on soteriology.
Alright, good evening, 7 p.m. service. Can you just greet enthusiastically your seatmate for a while? For tonight, we're down to the third installment of our series called The Great Exchange. And if ever you weren't here when we started this series, the goal of this series is for us to zero in, to look into the doctrine of salvation, have a solid understanding of what it is and its practical implications, practical effects, how it affects our lives. In other words, as we look at this series, we'll come to understand that the doctrine of salvation is not just some vague theological idea, but it's actually something that has a profound impact in our lives. This affects your seatmate and, of course, you yourselves. This affects all of us. And it's called the Great Exchange because on the cross, when Jesus Christ died for us, when we surrendered our lives to Jesus, there was an exchange that happened. Now, last week, we talked about one of the aspects of this great exchange, from guilty to forgiven. Who we were before Christ came into the picture, our status was one of guilt. We were, because of our shame, our guilt, our sins, we were guilty. But when Jesus came into the picture, died on our cross for our sins, He saved us and it changed us, that we became freed and forgiven. And that's why every time we do communion, we take time to remember what Jesus did for us. And that was one of the effects, one of the implications. It's a great exchange. Now today, for our third installment, we're going to talk about death to life. We're going to talk about the other aspect of the great exchange, from death to life. In other words, gibuhay ta ni Lord. God did something to bring us back from quote-unquote the dead. And you might wonder, what does it mean when we say death to life? Ha, namatay ko before, zombie ba ko, or something? We're going to unpack what that means when we say death to life and what does the cross of Christ have to do with it. Now, as we go through this, as I was preparing for this, coming into the title, Death to Life, it reminded me as well of kanang mga comeback stories, kanang mga people or things nga seemingly forgotten, nawala na. Then all of a sudden, they made a huge comeback and they're becoming successful. For example, in showbiz industry, like this guy. See, Iron Man, for those of you who don't know his real name, that's Robert Downey Jr. Or at least that's what he carries a name sa showbiz. He's famous being an actor portraying the role of Iron Man. But before he became a household name, before he became successful, famous, and we know him even at this part of the world, before he was all that, his career at one point in his life was not going anywhere. This guy was arrested several times because of drug possession, drug charges. He went to rehab. Basically, this guy was having a hard time. Parang walay future siya. But then one day, he had a big break. He was offered the role of Iron Man, as we all know now. And because of that, nisigat siya. He had a huge comeback from obscurity, from this seemingly forgotten actor becoming a household name right now. Another thing I want to show of a comeback story is this city right here. The one in the black and white picture is the city in Japan during World War II. During World War II, two cities in Japan were bombed with atomic bombs. And of course, it devastated a huge area. Hundreds of thousands of people were killed because of that blast. But if you look at Japan right now, it's a bustling, thriving, growing city compared to what it was decades ago. In other words, this city, from literal destruction, was able to rebuild itself, was able to come back, in a sense, and become this huge metropolis. This last example I want to show is this company, and I believe we're all familiar with this company, Apple. Before it became the mega corporation that it is right now, it wasn't too long ago that no one cared about the Apple company. But no one really gave notice. It was fading out of existence. Its original founder, Steve Jobs, was kicked out of his own company, and they were losing as a company until such a time where they had a big breakthrough. Steve Jobs came back. They launched the iPod, the iPod Touch, the iPhone, the MacBook, and all that. And now there's this big, massive corporation. Now I'm sharing all of these stories because in some ways, it mirrors what we're going to talk about here today. Over the past couple of weeks, we talked about salvation and we talked about our previous status before Jesus came in to save us. And one of that status before was a status being of death. And we're going to learn more about what it means. Now, as amazing as those examples were of those comeback stories, it's nothing compared to what God did for our lives. Itong mga examples na to, humanly, it was possible. It was possible from this forgotten actor to come back from this ruined city to be rebuilt, from this company that was losing to come back and be successful. It was humanly possible. But this story about what God did for us from death to life is something that it was not humanly possible to do, but something that only God could do. And we're going to unpack what it means and what God did for us. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can enter them to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It says there in verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." As I said earlier, last week, we talked about from guilty to forgiven. We talked about our previous status as someone one of guilt. Like imagine a suspect on a courtroom. Parang nasa korte, the accused. Kumbaga. That was our status before. But then Jesus saved us, and as a result, we have been forgiven and freed. Now as we read through the first verse here today, we're going to discover what our status also was before Jesus saved us. What's the other aspect? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says here, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." The Bible tells us that we were dead in our sins. Kaya nga, our topic is called From Death to Life. Now, you might wonder, what does it mean when we say we were dead in our sins? Now, it says there were as well. So, in other words, past tense na ni siya. If you're a believer, you're following Jesus, you're following God and all that, this was your past status. It's not your present status. Past ni siya. But it's all healthy for us to understand, to comprehend. Nga naman, past status ni siya when we say we were dead in our sins. And what does it mean? I mean, if you look at us right now, we're moving, we're healthy. Diba? Latawang seatmate ninyo, mukhang healthy ba yung seatmate? Alive, alert, awake. If you look at our seatmates, they're not like, you know, zombies naman, you know, living dead or walking dead. We're not like that. When we say dead in our sins, we're not talking about that. Yes, we're physically alive. But when we say dead in our sins, if you're wondering what it means, to be spiritually dead or dead in our sins means to be separated from God. Separated from His goodness, from our relationship with Him. Remember a time in the Bible, in Genesis, when Adam and Eve first sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, because God told them, "All right, you can eat from anywhere, anything. Hey, lechon, kare-kare, tarang prutas, pwede nyo kanon. Just not from this fruit of this certain tree." But Adam and Eve, they disobeyed. They still ate from that fruit. And as a result, because you know, God told them, "You will surely die," eventually they did die because they sinned. Because the wages of sin is death. But not just physical death. The immediate consequence of their rebellion, of their sin, was spiritual death. In other words, to be separated from God. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. God casted them out. They were removed from the Garden of Eden. In other words, when we say dead in our sins or spiritually dead, it is to be separated from God. And you might ask, nga naman dead ang term gigamit when it's separated from God? Now to understand that, let me illustrate it this way. Imagine though, this electric fan, of course, it needs electricity to work. It has a plug that you plug in the socket for it to work. If it's not plugged right now, obviously, no matter what dial I turn it into, number one, number two, number three, full power akong ganahan niya, if it's not plugged, it will not give out air. It will not work. It will not turn on. In other words, quote-unquote, it's dead. But if I connect this, if I plug this in into a socket, then it's gonna turn on. Then it's gonna give out air. Now, the same thing with us. There is a spiritual parallel. Because anything that's separated from God, who is the source of life, is dead. That's why we say spiritually dead, because we are separated from God. We have been cut off from having a relationship with God. That's why we say we are dead in our sins. Because we've been cut off from God and we are in our sins. Much like that electric fan, kung i-unplug ni mo siya, kuaw ni mo siya, it's not gonna work. It's dead. Now that's what happened to us. We were spiritually dead. Now for us to grasp the gravity of what it means to be spiritually dead, let's unpack what it means. What's the effect aninias atwa? Firstly, when we say spiritual dead, it means that we are completely unable to trust God in His Word. We cannot fully trust God. A few weeks ago, we had this series called Worldview. And that is, if we are to live our lives, have our perspective in life, it should be shaped by the Word of God. But there's the thing, apart from God coming into the picture, in our previous state, when we were dead in our sins, we cannot fully trust, embrace, and understand the Word of God. That is why, if you can remember, before you became a Christian, before you became a follower of God, you couldn't understand the Bible. Yes, you can read it per se, but you can't fully get its insight or what it's trying to tell you. You can't fully understand the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of obedience. What this verse tells us, that prior to our new life in Jesus, before He saved us, in our old life, we used to do whatever we want. We were following in the course of the world. Whatever happened in the world, ginafollow ra nato. What's trending, what's normal out there, what people are doing out there, we just follow it. Nagafollow lang ta. It also says there, following the prince of the power of the air. When we say the power of the air, it talks about the influence of the devil. Kaya before, we didn't know what was right from wrong. We couldn't know what is sinful or what is honoring to God. We were just following through the motions. Imagine, if you will, you're drifting in the river, like naka-float lang ka. When you're doing a dead float, you're at the mercy of the current of the water. Wherever the water flows, dito ka punta. In other words, if you're gonna float in Boulevard right now, you might wake up one day in nakasdawin. That's because it depends on the water current. The same thing, there's a parallel to us spiritually. Before, we were moving in the current of the world. Whatever happened there, we just subscribed it. And the influence of the devil. That was our status before, when we were spiritually dead, dead in our sins. It also goes on to say that because of our sins, because we were dead in our sins, our natural minds also cannot submit to God. Titagahan mo follow ni God. Verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We did things out of the desire of our flesh. What we want to do, what we think we want to do, we just did it. We did not want to follow and obey kang God. But the other thing as an effect of being spiritually dead is that we are incapable of even understanding the things of God. We cannot respond. We're not sensitive to His leading or anything of the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly or foolish to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the Bible tells us that because of our sins, when we were spiritually dead, cut off from our relationship with God, when we were dead in our sins, we could not submit fully to God, understand the things of God. We could not fully trust God. In other words, di ta makarespond, obey, and follow God. The best description I can tell of a person who is like that is someone who is dead. If you have someone who is dead, let's say, if I try to revive him daw by giving him a burger, bro, simutan ng burger, di na siya mo-respond. If I try to put music into his coffin para mag-headbang-headbang siya dito on sa bag, di siya mo-respond. Whatever stimulus, whatever thing I try to give Zaya music, food, patala ko siyang motor, he will not come back from the dead because he is dead. A person who is dead cannot will himself to go back to life or move for that matter. And he cannot respond to anything that you do. A person who is dead, no matter how many times i-prod ni mo siya, i-point ni mo siya, diha, hapakun ni mo yung nawong, he will not slap you back. Matingalata mo slap back siya ni mo. He can't do so. He can't respond because he's dead. Unable to discern anything, unable to sense anything, dead. And that's what we were, spiritually speaking. Yes, physically, right now, we are alive, we're moving, we're walking. Our heartbeats are there. Baka kabalin nyo lang, wala, nabakoy heartbeat. Yes, nabakoy heartbeat. But spiritually speaking, we were dead. And I say dead, not drowning, because pag drowning, yes, you're dying, but you're still alive. You're still kicking, moving. But when you say dead, wala na. Dead is dead. How dead? Like this dead. Flatline. That was our status before. We were spiritually dead. We could not discern of the things of God. And it tells us that we couldn't do anything to save ourselves. We've been talking these past few weeks about the consequences of our sins. And the biggest consequence of our sin, the wages of sin is death, as the Bible says. In other words, all of us, we're headed to this one-way trip to hell because of our sins. But we were to receive the punishment, the righteous judgment of God. As it says here in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature children of wrath. Like the rest of mankind, we were liable to judgment. We were to receive the consequences of our sins. And there was nothing we could do about it. A dead person cannot save himself or herself. If you leave a dead person there, let's say, na siya sa burning building, na dead body dito, a dead body cannot get out of the burning building and save his or herself. It goes to show us that on our own, because we were spiritually dead, we could not save ourselves. No effort, no self-help could ever save us from the consequences of our sins. That was the bad news, church. That was our previous status. But good thing God came into the picture. Verse 4 says, but God, there's him for a while, but God. If this was a superhero movie, it's like God coming in at the right time to save us at a time when we needed help the most. When all hope seems lost, but there's no one else could save us, God came in. But God, being rich in mercy, when we say mercy, it's not getting what we deserved. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were spiritually dead, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. But these two verses tells us what God did for us to be, quote-unquote, spiritually alive. If we were dead in our sins, we were spiritually dead, and there was nothing we could do to save ourselves, help ourselves, God came into the picture, did something for us. And this is what we're going to talk about now. What these two verses teaches us is this word called regeneration. Pretty big word. Regeneration. You might think regeneration sounds like a term from biology class. Like when the starfish loses one of its limbs, it grows back. In scientific terms, that's what regeneration means, healing, restoring something. But in the biblical terms, when we say regeneration, we're not talking about healing lang. Regeneration means to be birthed or born again. Not just healing, not just resuscitation, but to be birthed and born again. A new being coming into existence. That's what regeneration is. And it's what God did for us. When we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive in Christ. John Piper says in his quote, we do not cause the new birth, but God causes the new birth. No one here can say, I can make myself alive or I can make myself be born again. When we were born first into this world, when we were babies, all that, we didn't make it happen. None of us was responsible for making it happen. God made it happen. And the same thing with us being spiritually born again or being birthed again. That's why born again is not a religion. Born again or birthed again is an experience. It's what God does in you. And something only God could do. Regeneration is something God does to us. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. I know we grew up in a religious culture. For the longest time, when I was a kid, akong thinking, magbinutan ko para na kay blessing ni God, para na kay favor ni God, or para ma-assured ko, malangit ko. Holy Week is fast approaching, and usually it is that week in the one year we try to be good as much as we can to earn the favor, the blessings of God, or para ma-wipe away ang sins nato. We try to be good in those few days. Some people take it to an extreme. We do something para, quote-unquote, mawala ang mga sala nila, ma-forgive ang sins. But here's the thing. Forgiveness of our sins. Being regenerated, says here, it did not come from our own doing. It is the gift of God. It was given to us by God, by His grace. Verse 9 says, not a result of works. In other words, it's not because you went to church, faithfully, but by all means, go to church faithfully? Is that because you read your Bible every day? Is that because you're a good student, you're a good working professional, you're a good father, mother, and all that? But by all means, be good in all those aspects. But none of those are the reason why you got regenerated or why you were able to be birthed again. Or why God was able to turn you from a state of being dead in our sins to becoming spiritually alive. It was not of our works. It says here, so that no one may boast. No one can say, you know what, mas buhatan ko nimo. Compared na ako, ikaw, one chapter a day ra ka, ako, five chapters a day ko. We cannot boast of our good deeds. Because at the end of the day, it tells us that it was not the reason why we were saved. It was all because of what God did for us. In other words, we were all in the same boat. We cannot say, I'm better than you, or you're worse than me. R. Kent Hughes says, humanity is divided into two groups. Those who are resurrected and those who are dead. Self-help will not save those who are dead in their transgressions and sins. No one can crawl from the casket or the coffin. He or she must be made alive with Christ. That is why every time you look at the cross, if you're wondering, Tom, how does regeneration work? We know made alive with Christ. John 14, verse 6. This is talking to people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In another verse in the Bible, it says, whoever believes in Him, Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. The reason for this is because when Christ died on the cross for our sins, when He died there, our sins were taken away. They were crucified and buried with Him. Christ gave up His life so that we may have a new life. Our old self was crucified. When you look at the cross, our old self was crucified and was buried with Him. But here's the thing, as our old self was crucified and buried with Him, our new self, our new life was raised with Him as well. But just as God was able to raise Christ from the dead, He was able to raise us with Him. That we were born anew, birthed anew. Not just healed, not just an improved version of yourself, but a new you, a new creation. That's what we mean by the old has gone, the new has come. It's all possible because of what Christ did for us on the cross. A while ago, we just did communion. Diba? We partake of the bread and the juice. Each time we take the bread, we are reminded that Christ gave up His life so that we may have a new life. Church, literally, that is what Jesus did for us. He gave up His life so that we can have a new life. We are made alive in Christ. We were spiritually dead, dead in our sins, hopeless, lost, unable to do anything. But God, in His mercy, in His grace, came in, saved us, took our place on the cross, took the punishment, the judgment for our sins, gave up His life so that we may have a new life, so that in Him, we are made alive. And you get to have a relationship with God. You get to be with the source of life. So now you get to live anew with God through Christ. It also goes to show us that yes, in life there are challenges. It doesn't mean that when you're a Christian, everything falls for you or falls your way. But yes, my challenges, my struggles, my problems. But this new life we're living, because it was something that Jesus gave up for us, it tells us of the quality of this kind of life. That we don't have to live defeated with a defeated mindset. Thinking, Lord, Lord, loser, Lord, I'm defeated. No. We can live victoriously because this is not just any kind of life. Jesus gave up His life for this life that we have. This blessed life. This life that we have access to the goodness, the mercy, the grace of God every single day. That's the kind of life that we get to live, church. If you are following your being God, when we say you're a believer of Christ, guess what? That's the kind of life that you get to have. A blessed new life. We are made alive in Christ by nothing else, by no one else, by no other effort. And it's because of what He did that we get to enjoy and reap all these benefits, all these blessings. God turned us from death to life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.